Good morning and welcome to the Finance Show, tiptv.co.uk. It's 10 a.m. on Thursday, the 14th of April. Another trading day well underway. We had a massive move to the upside in the FTSE, a big breakout there. Hands up, everybody who got it right and who got it wrong. A man who suggests that he's got it right, who got it right, even before it happened, was Bill Hubbard, who was a market analyst at optech.com.
Well, Zach, as we remember back on the 10th and 11th, of February. I even sent something to you and we talked about it the following week, was that the world didn't end on the 10th and 11th. And I felt then, and even more so now, that the glass was half filled rather than half empty. And I think this is what we're seeing right now is, you know, we mentioned about this, the masses of the universe. It took them from the Federal Reserve raising rates in December probably to the 10th or 11th of February to realize that it wasn't the end of the world. Also, you know, we see the World Bank and the IMF and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know, recommendations from the World Bank and the IMF plus £2 get you on the London Underground. I mean, they're just these gurus who sit up in their ivory towers and predicting this, that, and the other. And I mean, as we saw yesterday, I mean, we saw a massive move. What was the FTSE up 150 points? I mean, it was a question of the only thing that stopped the market going up was the closing bell, okay? And one of those things, even the IMF says, Chinese GDP will be up 0.2% this year for 6.5%. What's wrong with 6.5%?
Right, just, I mean, but on the January-February shakeout, basically in all the news, all the headlines, all the commentators, you know, almost to a man were saying, this is looking very bad, it's, you know, selling, you know, we're out of stocks, we're doing this, we're doing that. And basically there was nobody else left to sell.
You just said it, okay? How many times have we seen the CFTC data saying the market's oversold or the overbought? That's what it was. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm surprised these exchanges even opened the last 2 weeks of February because, as you said, there were no buyers anymore, okay? And it just goes back to what Warren Buffett says. When everybody's excited, I get scared. When everybody gets scared, I get excited. And I mean, I must have mentioned this a dozen times, there were trillions of dollars or euros all on the sideline. We're talking like at one point in the States it was like $80 trillion, okay, that was just sitting there in non-interest bearing, and that's what it was. It came back into the market,
and that's the tax paid money. I mean, all the offshore stuff, you know, hidden away, $1.4 trillion. I mean, that could have been deployed as well, couldn't it? But let's go on to the slides of the day. The Tip TV finance app, download it on iOS or on Android, please. Join the Tip TV family. Follow us on Twitter at Official Tip TV for the latest headlines, quotes, and news. What's trending? Oil prices slip as OPEC forecasts weaker demand. Non-OPEC oil production falling more sharply than expected. Yellen, a friend of Bill Hubbard, says that...
Auntie Janet, I mean.
Yes, you're very close, aren't you? I enjoyed the way that last week, you know, because Auntie Janet is a little bit on the weak side in terms of the PR and the speech making, etc. You had to have all the living Fed chairs to come in and sort of like bolster her, you know. So you had Volcker and you had... It was just like, you know, a meeting of the gods.
Greenspan was probably so upset with her. That's why he didn't appear in the same room. He probably would have punched her out.
Right. Yeah. Yellen says that Fed will stay dovish in the near term, which that's not exactly a surprise. And then Premier Oil, Shetland oil field, giant Shetland oil field brought into production following crude oil price rally. Presumably now that means that Scotland can be independent and will be solvent as well.
Exactly right.
Okay. Time to go.
Exactly right.
Right up Nicola Sturgeon. Let's do it. Mike's Morgan at Morning Markets, which you will have seen if you watched the early edition of the Finance Show at 10 past 8. But we will repeat. Overnight, Japan again leading Asia higher on continued confidence in the Chinese economy. The yen retreats. Singapore dollar falls as the Monetary Authority of Singapore signals no appreciation bias for the first time since October 2008. And then at high noon, we have the Bank of England Super Thursday, super boring Thursday because they never do anything. Rates expected to remain on hold on a 9-0 vote. Touch points include slowing growth, sterling weakness, and obviously Brexit uncertainty, which is obviously would be the cause of every single ill known to
worldwide, not just
exactly,
in the UK.
Exactly, and the recent pickup in inflation. The US to unveil plans that toughen offshore oil drilling rules. Exxon warns it may take it may make much exploration and production unviable if it isn't already. And then companies reporting later today in the US include Bank of America and Wells Fargo. Right, let's move along. As we've just heard, the Monetary Authority of Singapore, which targets the exchange rate of its currency, has gone back to measures last used in 2008 because economic growth has come to a standstill with a reading of zero for first quarter of 2016. I thought there was an economic miracle in Singapore.
Well, there is.
So that's because you're not allowed to drop your chewing gum on the pavement.
Exactly right.
On the sidewalk,
rather. Keeps everybody busy.
Exactly, yes. It will now adopt a 0% rate of appreciation of the Singapore dollar versus a currency basket. It also said that its inflation forecast has now been lowered. Weakness was due to external demand slowing, blame others, China's structural changes and a reduction in oil exploration and precision engineering.
Of course, the Singapore dollars, you know, traded all over. I mean, everybody trades Singapore dollar versus Zimbabwe dollar. And,
exactly. Next slide from Nicole. On top of opining on the global economy and the risk of Brexit, the IMF has now also rode in on the subject of the world's largest banks, ranking them on 14 different metrics. Deutsche Bank and Credit Suisse were ranked in the bottom 30%. What a surprise. And Lloyds and RBS were the ones raising the most concerns in the UK. I think really they should, RBS should just close it down. Put it out of everyone's misery.
I couldn't agree more.
So it's just painful to watch. Omkar Godbole from FX Street is looking at crude oil. A double top is his theory at 42.40 on WTI. Double bottom formation is likely as the markets are priced in a production freeze agreement. I don't know, double top or double bottom. I would say double top there. That is wrong at the bottom. But yes, it's better to travel than to arrive, I would have thought, on the Doha. Right, okay, let's move along. This is the S&P index, S&P 500, which has been rising like a homesick angel, as our friend Mr. Moose would suggest. New 2016 high for the S&P today, with an all-time high just 3% away. To test the record high of 2134.72 from May last year, the index will need to overcome trendline resistance drawn down from two subsequent peaks. Pushing through 2090 would breach that line, opening the door to that record high. Momentum is a good distance from overbought, and there's still plenty of shorts out there, still short from 1812.
Is that a level or a year?
That's a year and a level. There is also a lot of cash on the sidelines, and that could potentially inundate the market on new highs, at which point caution would be called for. That is according to the Co report. Forex open positions from Oanda's clients, who have now gone full gear into dollar yen. 70.72% are in there, so that's topping the table for the first time in a long time. Silver was sort of number one for many weeks, but that's the backing off of that, and they're also long of the Canadian dollar. On the other side, the flip side, they are making money on euro sterling, which has started to fall, and also on euro dollar, which has also started to fall, so that is good news for them. As far as the broker forecasts are concerned, I've gone for Next, where Deutsche Bank, my friends, who I admire intensely, just because they're still there.
How long the courage to show up every
They're night. Wonderful. And also, they've also looked at Marks & Spencer as well. I feel that Marks & Spencer and Next are very similar, very sort of related in terms of the offering, the non-food offering of Marks & Spencer and Next. In fact, I think Next basically stole Marks & Spencer's market share, really, on the high street. So that's my sort of fundamental math, as you Americans would say. And then Glencore, I just found this absolutely intriguing, that the recommendation was restricted.
I mean, to their clients only.
I don't know, but it sounds so intriguing. If anybody knows what their stance is on Glencore, I would love to know. Let's look at the charts of these three companies. First up, we have Next. If I can get the right EPIC code there, near the bottom of the rate, well, the recent lows. It's interesting here, sort of 52, 53 pounds. It looks like the bottom of a trend channel, but there's still the risk. I think that if we remain below 55 pounds resistance, we could sink back towards 50 pounds. But looks like, you know, the pain of coming from 80 to 50. Is quite a big move. I think maybe it didn't deserve 80, but I don't think.
So I guess my question is, what is the next move?
We do not know yet. We do not know, unfortunately. But let's go on to Marks & Spencer's. Here we've had a nice charting breakout, actually. This is looking quite healthy. Broke above the 50-day moving average and golden cross between the 20-day and 50-day moving averages. So you would hope or think that the next target here is 476.
I don't know what newspaper I was reading it, but recently was talking about some woman. It didn't say which Marks & Spencer store she was going into, but she says, yes, it was very crowded. It has been for a while, but it seems like the only area that was crowded was the return area.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, we'll move along to Glencore, where you can see this astounding rebound. Some cynics thought that the company might succumb at the start of the year, but obviously that was China fears being overdone.
Exactly right.
And they somewhat managed to rejig their finances. But at the moment, a gap to the upside this week through the 20-day moving average. Can we get up to £2? That's the question.
Well, I think it may all depend on what happens Sunday in Doha, okay? If they agree to some kind of freeze in any way, shape, or form, oil up, and it will be the commodity complex as well. And we don't need to tell anybody. Glencore is truly one of those great speculator stock. We buy it on Monday, sell it on Tuesday, wait to do on Wednesday, and buy it again on Thursday.
Bill Hubbard, market analyst at optech.com, thank you very much for opening the show. And we will keep talking after the break.
Okay.